And welcome back from the stand. We are closing out our last segment of the show, and I've kind of saved the best for last. Steve McConkey is the executive director of the Seaplane Pilots Association. Steve, it's always a pleasure to have you on the show because after a week of excitement and everything else, you come on and you are this calming influence and also represent one of the most fun things to do with an airplane, and that is fly off the water.
Thank you, Steve. That's awesome. Thank you.
And, of course, this year we really are featuring the seaplane base, obviously, with the Martin Mars being here. Boy, what a fantastic airplane.
Yeah, it's all about the Mars this year. Yeah. I mean, that's the absolute showstopper. 200-foot wingspan, dropping 7,200 gallons of water. It's just, I mean, it's the cat's meow.
Really? Have you had an opportunity to get inside it?
I have. I spent a couple hours. They gave me access, and I just opened every access panel. I just crawled all over the airplane, did everything I could. It was amazing.
Wayne Coulson was on with us earlier in the week, and he talked about the airplane. And, we talked about some of the operational aspects of it and things. And you know, if you haven't had a chance to see it, there's very little time left in the week. But just to put it in perspective, he talked about the fact that in the 40s, when it was flying, they actually would burn about 7 gallons of oil an hour. So they would shut down an engine, and the smallest crew member would actually walk out inside the wing, put more oil in the engine, they'd start it up and do the next engine all the way through. So just imagine someone probably, five and a half feet tall or something, walking through the wing of an airplane.
Yeah.
That's not a Cessna 172.
No, it's amazing. I mean, they literally have people, when they were doing the test flights, they would have an engineer on each engine in the wing ready to add oil or have a fire extinguisher. It's just incredible.
And the other thing that was, again, if you think about it, it makes sense. But until Wayne said it, all the maintenance, especially when they're on remote locations, has to be done on the water.
Yeah.
So your mechanics are bobbing up and down on stands trying to work on engines. And as he said, Snap-on Tools probably appreciates them for all the tools they've dropped over the side over the years. But it just logistically is just a nightmare sometimes. But yet to watch it fly, so graceful, so beautiful.
So. It is. You know, I'm a Grumman Albatross pilot, and we got married aboard the Albatross, of course.
Right.
And, knowing the logistics of a two-engine large flying boat, and we just had one take off, knowing the engine, that kind of logistics, the Mars logistics just takes it to a whole other level.
I understand if everything goes well, you may have a chance to fly the airplane.
Harrison Ford knocked me out of the ride yesterday, so I had to give way. Yep. But, I'm going to be out there just, pulling on shirt sleeves and doing everything I can to get in it today. So hopefully we get it, make it happen.
Good. The Seaplane Pilots Association, always a good presence here at Air Venture. Your corn roast was last night?
Thursday night.
Thursday night.
So, tremendous success. We had Michael Smith that just did the first solo amphibious flight around the world speaking. We had live steel drum music, over 750 people. We had a massive auction, lots of good time for everyone. We had the Mars crew, of course.
Well, yes.
I have to say, it's the first year we've actually used all 18 kegs of beer, and I think it was attributed to the Mars crew.
There you go. And you also mentioned that you had some commemorative T-shirts made with the Mars that just flew off the shelves.
Yeah, we were like, oh, we're going to come here. It's one shot to sell them. We did a production run, and they sold out the very first day. So we did an emergency overnight rush, ordered some more, got them here. They sold out on the second day as soon as they were here. So it's great. It's good to spread that passion and see that airplane on everyone's backs.
It's amazing how much that airplane has really energized people and I think hopefully opened up some eyes to the kind of fun flying that Seaplane Pilots Association promotes, and that is the waterways. We have lots and lots of waterways, especially up here in the Midwest and on the coasts. It's all runway.
Yeah, it is.
It can be.
And that's a beautiful thing. I mean, for us, the county that I live in Florida, for example, has 800 lakes in it, and 780 of them are open. So, for us, we don't have to go to a paved runway. We can go to remote locations where there are no roads, where you can't get in with a boat under any other circumstances. Great camping, great flying. And really, most of what we do is getting away from people. So it's nice to bring the airplanes and show them off at an event like this.
Sure. And part of your mission is also advocacy to make sure that waterways remain open.
That's correct.
For aircraft like...
Oh, Philip. Yeah, so that's based in Anoka. How fitting that we have a Grumman Albatross taxi and fly. Now, that's Bill DeSilver. He actually did my type rating.
gorgeous airplane.
So, yeah, our primary mission is promoting and protecting. Those are the two things that we do for the waterflying community, and we've expanded. We were very focused on the U.S., and now we're going everywhere from Australia. We're taking 30 members to Italy, to Lake Como, to fly mm-hmm. seaplanes in October. So we're expanding. We're doing more in the Eastern Rim as well. So it's nice to see us grow as an organization. We've been around for 45 years, and we've got the full-color glossy magazine, Water Flying, of course, and everything is just ramping up. And, of course, we have our new headquarters project as well.
So. I was just going to lead into that. You mentioned that you're very pleased. You signed a 50-year lease for a brand-new permanent headquarters for the Seaplane Pilots Association.
So 45 years running, we've never had a permanent home. We're super excited. We just finished negotiation with the FAA. We have a 50-year lease for 5 acres of property with 1,000 feet of shoreline, and we're going to build our first permanent headquarters. We'll have a J3 on floats hanging up in an atrium in the entrance. We're super excited about that. Education facilities, conference facilities, and we'll be the permanent home for the Sun and Fun Splash Inn as well.
Excellent. So in the Lakeland area, right?
Yes. Okay. Winter Haven.
Winter Haven. All right. Winter Haven, of course, center. Jack Brown's seaplane base. It's been the go-to place for a seaplane rating in the J3 Cub. They're still going strong?
Yeah, they produce on... This is a long-running record that they have. They produce more seaplane pilots than every other school in the world put together on an annual basis.
My goodness.
And they've done three of mine.
Yeah. Tell us, how difficult is it to get a seaplane rating? Some people think it's very, very difficult, but it really isn't.
No, so it counts as a BFR, number one. So it's a good excuse to go get a BFR. Number two, 6 hours to 8 hours for most pilots. You're going to hone your stick and rudder skills. In the case of a J3 at Browns, you're going to have the door open in most cases. You're going to have the stick between your legs. You're going to have the breeze blowing you in your face. It's one of the most enjoyable types of flying you'll ever do. So there's no written test. There's only an oral and a check ride. You're going to become a better stick and rudder pilot. You're going to have the time of your life, and it's going to be the least stressful, guaranteed, the least stressful check ride you will ever do.
And once you get that basic rating, it's just like any other aircraft rating. It's just building blocks and moving your way up.
You can move your way up. You know, people have this perception that you don't have access to seaplanes for once you get your rating. Mm-hmm. But, you know, before I was the executive director, I would travel all over the United States, as I still do. And there, no matter what state you go into, every state minus Colorado, which were one of our advocacy issues, but there's access. You can find an operator, Louisiana, Seattle, Minnesota, Wisconsin, you can find an operator, go jump in an airplane with an instructor and get some time.
Good. Is advocacy more difficult these days, or is it about the same as far as folks understanding the operations and the actual impact, very low impact, that seaplanes have on waterways?
Well, we're seeing a huge new resurgence of interest. I mean, if you look at the LSAs at the show here, if you look at the aircraft at the show, all the way up to the Kodiak, the number of Grumman Albatrosses, the Mars. We've been very fortunate. Last year we had the Icon up in center stage. This year we have the Mars. I don't know what we're going to do next year to top that. But I think there's a huge resurgence. We're seeing more commercial operations. We're looking at seaplane access to Boston. We'll have service between Manhattan and Boston. We're seeing a great operator, Tropic Ocean Airways, down in Florida, doing Bahama service, taking over where Chalk's left over.
Okay.
So we are seeing more popularity. If you look, more movies, more TV shows, we're seeing more. And that all helps our efforts.
Good. Maybe Kermit Weeks can get his Sunderland back.
Yes.
That would be...
You know, that was the first airplane we were in. When we did our wedding, we talked to Kermit first. We thought we would do the wedding in the Sunderland, but we ended up doing it in the Albatross.
Still not a bad way to go.
It's a great airplane.
So good. And what other things can we look for at the Seaplane Pilots Association in the coming year?
Well, we're going to, you know, go into fundraising mode for the headquarters. I do about 50 workshops and safety seminars a year, everything from bush flying to seaplane topics, Seaplane 101. You'll see a lot more of that. We're going to have our field directors doing that more regionally. You're going to see more television interaction with us getting out there on the silver screen to try to bring more popularity and understanding of what we're doing and what our lifestyle's like. And just look for more seaplanes everywhere.
Good. We love it. And again, I consider it one of the most enjoyable ways to fly, because you just it is a completely different perspective when you're landing on water compared to landing in an airport. Airports are great, but you know, there's just some places you can't get to without a good set of floats.
Yeah, absolutely.
Steve, if someone wants to get involved as far as the fundraising goes, how can they support your new headquarters?
Go to the seaplanes.org website, mm-hmm. seaplanes.org. You can also call us at 863-701-7979. Reach out to me, Steve, at seaplanes.org.
Okay.
Would be the obvious. And so we'll get back with you right away. We'd love to get you engaged. And here again, if you have any questions about becoming a seaplane pilot, you have someone that may be interested in applying for our scholarship. Mm-hmm. We award a dozen zero-cost seaplane rating scholarships for young aviators 17 to 25 each year, two at this show.
Excellent. And at the show, if someone would like to stop in at your booth, where are you located?
Come over to Hangar C. We're the closest row to the tower. We're midway, and there's generally a crowd around it. So hard to miss us.
Steve McConaughey is the Executive Director of the Seaplane Pilots Association. Thank you again for helping close out our show for this year.
Thank you, Steve.
All right, and hopefully you'll get to fly the Mars today.
Yes, that absolutely. Would be good. Thank you.
And that's going to wrap up our show for today and for AirVenture Oshkosh 2016. It has been a great week, very quick. Can't believe it is almost over. But today's Super Saturday, there's another whole day tomorrow. So don't think it's completely over, but we're getting toward the end. And we want to thank everyone for listening, especially want to thank the Commemorative Air Force for their support of From the Stand. Remember, the CAF's mission is education, so that Americans will value and support the contributions of military aviation in assuring our nation's freedom. Their CAF tent is in the southeast corner of the Boeing Centennial Plaza, or you can visit them online at commemorativeairforce.org. So until AirVenture 2017, From the Stand, I'm Steve Buss, and you are listening to EIA Radio.